Good morning. You're very welcome this morning. Last day of June. Last day of the first half of the year. Kind of crazy, huh? So here we are. And we are going to do 4 weeks on prayer. Today is kind of a foundation of prayer. And then we will look at the Lord's prayer over the next 3 weeks. But I've wanted to do a short series on the Lord's Prayer for a long time. And so that's what we're going to do for the next 4 weeks. But before we get to the Lord's Prayer, I wanted to look at just the idea of prayer. Where did it start? To whom do we pray? Why should we pray? To be honest, I could preach for a year on prayer and not even do justice to the topic. But let's take a moment to think about prayer and what it means to pray. You know, my best memories as a child are centered around the family prayer time. My grandparents, my mom's parents, were faithful to pray as a family every evening. We visited them nearly every weekend for 11 years because my grandfather was the pastor of a church about 30 miles away. And so every night on the weekend, well, usually about 9 p.m., my grandfather would open his Bible and he'd read a chapter. Then he would have one of the grandkids pass out these little Bible verse cards, and we would take turns reading our verses. Then we would kneel and pray. Whomever wanted to pray would start. Then eventually, grandfather would pray. I loved hearing him pray. It was like he had a closer connection to God, at least as a kid, that's what I thought. Hearing him pray was soothing and comforting. Now, but when was prayer first mentioned in the Bible? Why was it needed? Well, in Genesis 4:26, it says, "At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord." Now this refers to prayer or preaching or both. But before then, God and man had direct conversations. God talked to Adam and Eve. He talked with Cain and Abel. Both brothers knew what God desired for the sacrifice. And after Cain killed his brother, God talked directly with Cain. By the third generation after creation, during the time of Seth's son Enosh, there was some sort of organized worship of the Lord, which included prayer, so that one-on-one communication between God and man had started to diminish. Now, yes, God spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to Moses and Aaron, but he spoke to them through different means, but not as frequently as with the first generation right after creation. Because by Genesis 6, only a few generations after the creation, we are told the earth was corrupt in God's sight, filled with violence, corrupt for all flesh, had corrupted their way on the earth. I think it's roughly 1,500 years between creation and the flood, according to a handful of theologians. The sin of Adam and Eve was pervasive throughout the world, yet there was a need to commune with God. That's why it says, at that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. There was some sort of worship, there was a prayer life had developed. The phrase, call upon the name of the Lord, it's used more than 50 times in the Bible. And the significance of the first time here in Genesis 4:26 shows that despite this great division between God and man, due to sin, due to our sin, there was a faithful, righteous thread that ran from Adam to Noah. Scriptural accounts constantly call upon God by name. And therefore, it shows this interpersonal, this relationship between God and man, that it continued to exist. Now, as followers of Christ, we learn to pray through Jesus' example as he prayed to God the Father. When we pray to God the Father, we pray in Christ's name. He is our mediator, our intercessor, praying on our behalf to the Father. The effect of his intercession is to, what does that do for us? It increases our faith. It increases the joy and trust that we have through our faith in Christ. And it increases our capacity for devotion. The writer of Hebrews tells us, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And also in Hebrews 7:24, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. See, there's no need to pray to anyone else. No one else intercedes for us. No one else hears our prayers and carries them to God the Father. It is only Jesus. Though we don't have the same communion with God that Adam and Eve had at the beginning, we have a perfect communion with God through Jesus Christ. And still that question remains, why does God want us to pray? Prayer is not so that God can find out what we need or want. I mean, Jesus already told us that. He said, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Prayer is there for us to have a personal communication with God. Prayer is confession of sin. It's adoration and worship of God. It's praise and thanksgiving for what he has done for us. And it is for praying for other people, that we do have intercessory prayer. We can pray for other people. Other people can pray for us, but they're praying, they're asking God, would you please help my friend? We're praying for on their behalf, God, would you please help my friend? We're not carrying their prayers to God. We're praying to God for them. Now, here are three reasons why God wants us to pray. And there are many more, but here's three. Because prayer expresses our trust in God. And it helps our trust in him to grow. It helps our faith to grow. Prayer strengthens our faith, and it shows our total trust and dependence on God. Second, God wants us to love him and have fellowship with him. And prayer allows us to develop this relationship with God, that we can talk to him about anything. And he loves us and he desires a relationship with us. Think of that. The creator of the universe desires to have a personal relationship with each one of us. And that's one of the most incredible and amazing ideas. But also, thirdly, as we pray, God allows us to be involved in activities that are eternally important. As we pray for someone, for their salvation, for them to know Jesus, that's of eternal importance. We pray for their salvation so that they will be with Jesus in heaven for eternity. God gives us the opportunity to join his kingdom work throughout the world as we pray for people and for the church, whether it be here in Killarney, throughout Ireland, or anywhere else in the world. These are just some of the reasons why God wants us to pray. Now, let us look at a couple of prayers from the Psalms. In both instances, David was calling upon the name of the Lord, and we can do the same. We're going to look at Psalm 18, and then we'll look at Psalm 69. Just a few verses from each psalm. Psalm 18, 1-3. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Most of the Psalms serve a dual purpose. They are songs, because this was the Psalms, the hymn book for the Jews, but they're also prayers. And the melodies to those songs have long been lost, but the prayers are still with us, obviously. We still have the text. The Psalms are full of human emotions, and they move us to tears. They strengthen our faith. They help us to understand our own relationship with God. You can use the Psalms as your own prayers to the Lord. When you don't know what to pray, allow the Bible, allow God to give you the words to say. Now, if you're reading 2 Samuel and you get to chapter 22, you'll notice that it is nearly word for word the same as Psalm 18. In fact, it is. There's only a couple of differences. It's basically David's song of deliverance from his enemies and from King Saul. And it was worthy to be in the Bible twice. In the more historical document of 2 Samuel, and then it was placed in the Psalms as a prayer and as a hymn. And while they're not word for word, it is the same song. The one big difference is that the Psalm starts out with a different verse. Well, it has a verse, one line before the start of it that's been was added. David said, "I love you, O Lord, my strength." When you pray, do you ever start your prayer by telling God that you love him? And that's what David did. "I love you, O Lord, my strength." The rest of the song in both places details how God delivered and protected him. David loves the Lord, not only because of being delivered from his enemies, but because he simply loves God. It's a relationship between man and his God, and he loves him. Why? Well, because God is everything for David. Look at that list. God is my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. He states that God is my God. Then he repeats that God is his rock. Why? Because God is the one that he takes refuge in. God is his shield, his salvation, his stronghold. 9 different ways of saying who God is to him. Most of it is, God is my protector. God, my strength comes from the Lord. My protection comes from him. Then he adds, I call upon the Lord. I pray to the Lord. I seek the attention of the Lord. Why? Because he is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be worshipped. He is worthy of our devotion. He is worthy. There is no one else. David loves God, and God is the only one he will call upon. Only after he has given God all the glory and praise does he add, and I am saved from my enemies. It's almost like an afterthought. He's been so focused on just who God is to him and his love for God. Now the rest of the psalm explains what David was doing, what he was going through, and how the Lord saved him. But these opening verses are the prayer of praise to the Lord for what he did for David. Do you give God the praise, prayers of praise for what he has done for you? Think about what you're going through right now. How can you use this prayer of David for yourself and in your situation? I mean, we don't have the same enemies as David did, but we do have enemies. We do have an enemy. In fact, we have a common enemy with David, and that's the devil, who does not want us to worship the Lord. Sometimes our enemies are people who mock us because of our faith. The Lord will protect us through those difficult times, and prayers such as this psalm help build up and strengthen our faith. Now, there's little that we know about Jesus' childhood. We know that when he was 12, his family went to Jerusalem for Passover, which they would have done every year. But this time, Jesus strayed away into the temple and was listening to the teachers and asking them questions. And his parents, who were heading home, and 2 days later, they realize, where's Jesus? So they go back and they find him in the temple and they ask him what he was doing. And in Luke 2:49, Jesus said, "Why are you looking for me? Did you not know I must be in my Father's house?" The old pastor Oswald Chambers wrote in one of his devotionals, he said, "Are you so identified with the Lord's life that you are simply a child of God? A child of God, continually talking to him and realizing that all things come from his hands. If the eternal child within you is the eternal child within you living in the Father's house, are the graces of his ministering life working out through you in your house, in your business, in your domestic circle? The vicarious life of Jesus is to become your vital, simple life. The way he worked and lived among men must be the way he lives in you." See, Jesus, he was always in contact with his heavenly Father. He was always in his Father's house and being about his Father's business. That was his way of life. If Christ is our example, then always being in our Father's house must also be our way of life. Now, that does not mean that we are always in church. We don't have a building, so that is not going to work anyways. We don't need a building to be in God's temple, because our bodies are God's temple where the Holy Spirit dwells, as it is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 3:16. So what it does mean is that prayer is a way of life for us. We are always in contact with the Lord in his house. The Holy Spirit is within us, and our bodies are represent the temple, then we are always in our Father's house and in prayer. We're always in contact with the Lord. Our prayer life is our close communion and communication with God. That's what I was getting at. Jesus was always in close communication with his heavenly Father. And we can do the same. It's a way of life. Let's look at Psalm 69. "But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies, from the deep waters. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to my soul. Redeem me. Ransom me because of my enemies." One aspect of prayer is understanding that God will answer in his perfect timing. It is never in our timing, because our will is imperfect due to our sinful nature. God's will is perfect, and he knows what we need, when we need it, whatever that may be. David understood this, and he noticed, and noticed his request, "At an acceptable time, answer me." He asked God to answer his prayer when it's the appropriate time from God's perspective. Why? Because God loves him. Out of the abundance of God's steadfast love, he knows God will answer him. But not only because God loves him, but because he also knows that God is faithful. He prays for an answer in God's timing, out of God's love, and because of God's faithfulness. And after describing the situation he's in, you can see all that, sinking in the mire, surrounded by enemies, feeling like he's going to drown in deep, flooding waters, and he's expecting the pit to close over him, he asks him, "Answer me, O Lord." Why? Again, because his steadfast love is good. It's abundant, and it is good. And not only is God faithful, but he is also merciful, abundant merciful. Turn to me, don't hide from me, please answer me, draw near to me, redeem me, ransom me. There's the ultimate need, redemption. Our ultimate need is for the Lord to redeem us. Not just our physical life, but our soul. It is only through the Lord, through Jesus, that we can have eternal life. And that must be the focus of our prayer life. Now remember, prayer is communication with God. God wants us to pray, to communicate with Him. But the biggest problem man falls into is that we only have a one-way communication. We pray. We say amen. Then we go about our day. That's like meeting someone for coffee. You do all the talking and then you get up and you leave without letting them respond. Do you ever wait and listen for that still small voice from the Lord? If you spent 2 minutes praying, can you spend 2 minutes listening? As an older pastor once said, prayer among evangelical Christians is always in danger of degenerating into a glorified gold rush. We have the get mentality. What can we get from God? Yes, we can ask for and receive specific gifts in answer to prayer from the Lord, but we must never forget that the highest kind of prayer is never the making of requests, but it's simply spending time in the presence of the Lord. Think about that. Can you spend 2 minutes praying to God without asking anything and then spending the same amount of time listening? I just picked out 2 minutes randomly. It can be however long you want, but whatever you do, can you do it for that amount of time without asking anything and then spending the same amount of time listening? Praying to God is a conversation. Praying is our opportunity to connect with the Creator of the universe, and we can share anything and everything with Him. We do not need to have someone else pray for us. Now, I mean, family and friends, yes, that's what I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about praying to someone who's already dead, someone who's a saint, someone where we don't need to have someone else to pray for us. We don't pray to somebody who, and they have them to take that to Jesus. We don't go through someone else. Praying to anyone else is not in the Bible. We pray to God the Father or God the Son. We don't pray to any man or woman. Man, no matter who they are, has a sinful nature. Man cannot forgive sin. Man cannot take our prayers to God the Father. It is God and Christ Jesus alone that we pray to. We as followers of Christ can go directly to the source. You know, I was asked recently if I took confession and gave absolution. I said that I cannot. No man is qualified to do so. Only Jesus can forgive sin. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he died on the cross, as the perfect sacrifice for sin. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, we have forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And if you want to pray and confess your sins, you go directly to Jesus. You go to the source. David went directly to God with his prayers. Every prayer in the Bible is directly to God the Father. Jesus is the only one qualified to carry our prayers before the Father because he is with the Father. What did Jesus say? He said, "I have prayed for you, that your faith will not fail." Jesus prays for us and with us. He joins us in our prayers to the Father. Hebrews 7:25, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. Andrew Murray, the great South African pastor from a century ago, wrote much about prayer, and he admitted, "The more I realize that Christ must be everything to me and in me, that everything in Christ is indeed for me, the more I learn to live the real life of faith, then the more I learn to live the real life of faith. This is especially true of the life of prayer. The believer understands that prayer is no longer a matter of strain or anxious care, but an experience of what Christ will do for him and in him. It is a participation in the life of Christ, which is the same on earth as in heaven, always ascending to the Father as prayer." Now, if we are following Christ, then we are living our lives for Christ. We are using his life as our example. And the most important aspect of Christ's ministry on earth was his prayer life and his connection with his Heavenly Father. Jesus was always praying. He was always getting away on his own to pray. You know, yesterday, with some friends, went out to Skellig Michael, which was a monastery, is the monastery out on that rock, 12 kilometers away in the ocean. And they went out there to pray. The monks built that, and they went out there to get away from people to pray and get closer to God. And as I was out there, and I was praying as I was walking around, and my friend asked me if I felt closer to God out here, and I said, "No closer than I was this morning at home." But understand the concept of getting away for a while on your own to pray, but that's not the life that God wants. That's not what the Bible says to do. That's not, you don't live your whole life away from people, because the gospel is to share the love of Christ with people. So Jesus was always getting away on his own to pray, but that was just for a moment. Sometimes he would ask people to go with him, to pray with him. But prayer was essential, and it was essential for Jesus. And shouldn't it be essential for us? I mean, that's how Jesus energized himself to go back into ministry. That's what we need. We need the strength from the Lord to help us continue in our ministry. And as we're praying, there are no fancy words to say. There's no special tone of voice to use. The psalmist said, "Be still and know that I am God." When you're talking to Jesus, you're just talking to him in your own way, your own personality. He doesn't want you to take on some holier-than-thou personality to pray to him. He wants a relationship with you. Find time and a place to be still before the Lord. Be silent. Remember to listen as much or more than you speak. And be ready to respond to the Lord. Be alert to know how you should pray and what you should pray and when you should pray. Be prayerful. Make your life a life of prayer. Well, you still do what you have to do. You still do your ministry, and you still do life, but prayer needs to be a part of that life. Our Christian life should be devoted to prayer as much or more than anything else. And be encouraged. We are not alone in prayer. You can ask someone to join you in prayer, but also know that Jesus is praying with you and for you. David called upon the name of the Lord in prayer. Throughout the Bible, people called upon the name of the Lord in prayer. Jesus called upon God the Father in his prayers. Romans 10:13 tells us that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We call upon the name of the Lord in prayer. I Pray that each of you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and that you call upon Him alone, in Christ alone. Just as David said, "My prayer is to you, O Lord." Let's pray.